Please. If you had a sense of deja vu when you heard today's gospel, it's okay. This is the second week in a row in which we've heard the story of the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and his calling of the first disciples. It is such a foundational story of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him that we hear it twice in this church year. Last week, we heard the story from the Gospel of John, and this week from Matthew. In telling his story, Matthew does something important right at the very beginning. He inaugurates Jesus' ministry by proclaiming a familiar passage from the prophet Isaiah. We read it every Christmas day, and we read it as our first reading today. Land of Zebulun, Naphtali, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the shadow of death, on them light has dawned. Isaiah is speaking about conquered regions where people struggle under oppressive rule and injustice. He urges them, don't give up. Don't be afraid. God's light will shine on you, and you will be liberated. You will know joy again. Matthew's listeners would have known these words of Isaiah by heart, and they would automatically recall what comes next. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So by leading with these words from Isaiah, Matthew is signaling that Jesus is the promised one who will open a new chapter in God's relationship with the world. Pay attention, Matthew says. What you hear about this man, his life, and his teachings will show you that no one, no matter how dark their world may seem, lives outside of the sight of God. Oppression and injustice will not have the last word, because the light of God will shine upon them. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee by proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," which means, wake up. Be ready. Something new is happening, and it is about God's desire for the world. Wake up. Repent. I imagine when some people heard this, when Jesus proclaimed it, they were encouraged and strengthened, because after all, Galilee was also a conquered region, controlled and taxed by Rome. Maybe this something new that Jesus proclaimed would ease the yoke of their burden. But as human nature goes, there were probably just as many people who tuned Jesus out or who turned away. Because being willing to see something new, to change the familiar patterns of daily life, is not easy. Which is why the story of the call of the first disciples is so remarkable. There they are, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, brothers minding their own business, trying to support themselves by meeting the fishing quotas that they've committed to their foreign rulers. Yet when Jesus beckons, "Follow me," they don't hesitate. They follow immediately. And when James and John, also fishermen, hear the same call, they immediately drop what they're doing and follow Jesus. They can't possibly know what they are getting themselves into. So it makes me wonder, what are they thinking right before they hear Jesus' voice? Are they yearning for more in their life, some meaning or purpose? Do they have an inkling that today holds the biggest beginning they will ever experience? This story of the calling of the first disciples is spare, and it's startling. And because we know where it leads, it can be a little unnerving, too. We can hear it and jump to the conclusion that this is what a calling is like. This is what discovering one's calling is like. That we will clearly hear God's voice and walk confidently away from our familiar life into the great unknown, right? But that's not what I think is happening here. All we are told is that Jesus called these disciples and they followed. They may have only intended to follow him until dinner time. You know, just to see where he was headed, and then they'd go back to fishing. But at dinner, they might have thought, well, this is really amazing. He is teaching me so much about God and myself and my community. And for now, I want this more than fishing. So maybe I'll stick around for another day or two. And then as they enter Jesus' rhythm of traveling around Galilee, helping to care for the sick and the suffering, and spreading the good news of God's love and mercy for all, things shift a little. As the days go on, their lives gradually change reorientation until they are motivated and strengthened by this vision of the kingdom of heaven coming near. And their following Jesus becomes so life-giving and so natural that it seems obvious and preordained. But hearing and responding to God's call is not obvious or preordained. In fact, it is often murky and vulnerable and incremental. Murky because even though we may feel a deep desire to learn and serve in new ways, we can't exactly know what we are being called to until we live it for a little bit. Vulnerable because responding to God's call means taking risks, engaging with people who are different, encountering our own shadow side, and realizing that even including these shadows, we are completely known and loved by God. And incremental because there is no prepackaged journey of following Jesus with all the destinations mapped out on an itinerary. We can't know for sure what will happen if we follow God's desires in us. So we can only take the first step in faith, letting go of what happens next until we've stuck around for a day or two. Parker Palmer writes that following Jesus, or finding our vocation, is not a goal to be achieved, but a gift to be received. Vocation does not come from a voice out there or up there calling you to be something you're not. It comes from a voice in here calling you to be the person that you were born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given at birth by God. Sometimes we can articulate with words what we think our true selves are called to be. But often we do better to just notice our actions and our reactions, our intuitions and our instincts. We're like plants turning toward the light, being drawn by those experiences and repelled by others, so that if we're willing to engage in something new, to step into the unknown, we will learn from our own experiences where our true vocation lies. There are moments in our lives when something changes to shift our center of gravity and draw us towards something new. It can be exciting, of course, but also scary. I believe that for many here at St. Mark's, this is one of those moments. The vestry statement of commitment and action has stirred up energy and yearning in this community. The last two Wednesday nights, over 75 people gathered here to discuss ways that they are feeling called individually and collectively to respect the dignity of every human being, and to seek and serve Christ in all. So far, people have identified 9 initiatives for this community to pursue: deepening St. Mark's hospitality and advocacy for refugees and immigrants, forming a dialogue group with partners at First AME Church that includes worshiping together in both churches, forming a group to visit and build relationships with local mosques, growing involvement with the Northwest Community Bail Fund, founding another prison ministry, exploring dedicated campus space to address homelessness, forming a group that attends public meetings and engages with other faith communities who are concerned about racial profiling and policing, hosting a training here at St. Mark's in de-escalation of and intervention in hate crimes, and engaging in political advocacy with Faith Action Network and the Episcopal Public Policy Network. All specific, all doable, all powered by passion and a sense of growing calling, and all evolving, inviting each of us in. And these initiatives surely will evolve in the coming days as people listen to God's call in them and allow themselves to be drawn into these new experiences. Parker Palmer says, "At its deepest level, vocation is realizing that this is something I can't not do. For reasons I may be unable to explain to anyone else, and I may not fully understand it myself, but it is nonetheless compelling." I imagine that is what the disciples felt when they followed Jesus. And I sense this kind of vocation developing and deepening here. Will you be a part of it? Jesus began his ministry in a time and a place where people struggled with fear and injustice. That ministry continues today, and his words are for us too. Wake up. Pay attention. Something new is happening, and it is about God's desire for the world. Amen.